Please be seated. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to all of you, my dear Christian friends, amen. As a result of smoking cigarettes, a poor diet, and years of physical inactivity, my 74-year-old father wakes up every morning to a breakfast of pills and medications. There's a pill for high blood pressure, a pill for diabetes, a pill for aches and pains, and even more. It's gotten to the point now where the side effects produced by this plethora of pills require the taking of more pills. In other words, he takes pills that work at cross purposes with other pills. Cross purposes. And so it was with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus tells them again that he must suffer and die. And St. Peter would have none of it. Peter believed, as did many others, that Israel's Messiah had come for glory, not suffering. He didn't want to hear of suffering and killing unless it applied to the Romans or other unbelievers. Our Lord's response, "Get behind me, Satan," well, that leaves no doubt that such thinking was at cross purposes with the will of God. To hope for a magic Messiah who will do what we'd like and not necessarily what we need is to be at cross purposes with God's will. To think that death can just somehow be wished away and not confronted and conquered, that too is to be at cross purposes with God's will. The way of redemption does not lead past imaginary evil or a pretend death. The way of salvation has to cross paths with our very legitimate enemies, enslaving sin and eternal death. The way of salvation is the way of the cross. Now, it's not surprising that Peter's vision and version of the Messiah are still attractive, alive, and well, even in our day. Even though it's cloaked in 21st century garb, the dynamic of false expectation is still at work. Many would prefer our Savior to talk about happiness instead of righteousness, and about comfort instead of discipleship. But our Lord says, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Easily said, not so easily done. Because the things of man are so attractive to man. They are, after all, his things. That's why man will always shun the cross and look for the glory now instead. He won't want to meditate upon a Savior who's nailed to a beam. Instead, he'll want to push all of that aside and consider it assumed and dwell upon happier things. He won't want to be comforted in the midst of suffering with our Lord's grace and faithfulness. No, he'll want God's favor to mean that he never suffers. He won't rejoice that Christ has finished his salvation at the cross, our salvation at the cross. Instead, he'll want to claim that he earns God's grace by his own work and sincerity. He won't want to acknowledge that every good gift comes from God, even as he pays lip service and says that he gives all glory to Jesus. He'll count those blessings as good luck or his own proud achievement. He'll spurn the idea that the life of a Christian is a life of repentance. And he'll preach that the life of the Christian is really more about having a more positive attitude in life. He'll try to adapt the church to any number of popular messages that tickle the ears, but he'll see little use for the means of God's grace. We are still tempted, you and I, to prefer that God shouldn't bear a cross. Maybe it's because we love God and we don't want to see God suffer. Or maybe we love ourselves and we don't want to suffer as we take up our cross and follow him. Now, of course, there is no denying that the cross is the central purpose for Christ's coming. That ultimate moment of unconditional love for you, for me, an epiphany of peace and the forgiveness of sins. When we give up that false hope of a comfy Christ, and we accept by the power of God's Holy Spirit the necessity and the reality of Christ and him crucified, then we no longer work at cross purposes with God. We live instead with the cross as our purpose. And you know, carrying that cross, oddly enough, brings a measure of great freedom. Freedom from wondering really what life is all about. Because Christ is the life. He is the life of all the living and the death of death, our foe. By his suffering, death, and merit, we eternal life inherit. And so now, on this side of the cross, our direction in life is clear. From the font to the altar, from confession to absolution, and from the grave to the mansion that's been prepared especially for you. In Jesus' name.